Hola, freedom fighters. Me llamo Andres. Andrew Warner coming to you directly from Chile. I flew over here to do interviews with entrepreneurs because I don't feel like I've got a sense of what entrepreneurship, like especially big player entrepreneurship, is like outside of the US. And frankly, as I look around, I notice that most people, most of the media, most podcasters don't do it. And it's maybe because we've been a little bit lazy. We're staying at home. We're getting comfortable in our environment. Frankly, I live in San Francisco. Dude, I got to tell you, I go to my kids' birthday parties. It is the best freaking networking you could do if you care about startups. Forget about going to meetups. Forget about going to... Go to the kid parties because the adults are out of their mind bored. They're all working on incredible companies. They've got stock. They've got inside information. And they're so bored that they love to talk about what's going on. You get such deep insight into what's going on. It's great. But it can make you a little lazy.
Great.
You should bring your kids to birthday parties with me. Forget, like, if you're ever in San Francisco, don't say, Andrew, can we have scotch? Say, Andrew, can I come to a five-year-old birthday party with you? Let your kids play and then just talk. Anyway.
Great.
So we've gotten a little bit lazy. I came here because I want to do interviews with entrepreneurs because I don't want to be, I'm not lazy. I work hard. I want to understand exactly what's going on here. And so one of the people that I've heard a lot about is a guy who in some ways competed with Groupon, right? Created this deal site. Groupon built a business, came over here in Latin America. I remember when they got to Latin America. I was living in Argentina. I could suddenly go and explore the country and get to know what's going on because I get these deals. And then they closed up. Did they close up or they just sold the Latin America area? Meanwhile, the guy who's sitting next to me has got a big smile on his face because I don't think he knows how to react. Like, am I comparing him to Groupon? Am I saying he copied it? Why are we spending so much time talking about someone else? Here's why. Because you're still standing. You're doing great. I feel like there's a part of you that's thinking, I could do so much better, Andrew. Don't you know the next business is going to kick ass, right? But this one's doing well. And so I wanted to find out how he did it. And I want to find out about the new business. His name is Christian Real, or Real, as we say in America. He is the founder, the co-founder of Couponautic. It's an e-commerce marketplace that offers different daily deals on products, services, and getaways. And I want to find out how he built up that business, why he's following it up with this new company that's a fintech company that does something that nobody who's listening to me will know. It's called factoring. I know it because my dad was in the garment business in New York. God knows, I know about factoring. We'll talk about that, why he's in that business, how well this business did, the challenges of building a company here and having a relationship, and so much else. And we could do it thanks to two phenomenal sponsors. The first will host your website, right? It's called HostGator. And the second will help you hire phenomenal developers. It's called TopTal. Christian, I didn't actually say your full last name. It's Christian
Real, which is for my father, and Bernouin, which is the last name from my mother, which
that's
is
how it
French.
Works here. You get, so your Chilean father married a French woman?
Yes.
Who was born in France, or she's like her?
All my mother's family is from France, actually.
Got it. And the way it works in Chile is, tell me about like this last name thing. How does that work?
Well, in Chile, yes, you get one last name from your father, the first one, and one last name from your mother, the second one. And that's the one you can't choose.
So the second one is the final last name, but people don't use it in conversation. It's more like formal documents.
Yeah, you could say that, yes.
Most
but
people,
for social media, it's actually useful sometimes because
so helpful.
You don't get repeat so much.
You don't get confused with other people who have similar names.
Exactly.
Three different
Gonzalez
names.
Would be a very common last name, so maybe you put both.
Got it. Couponautic, how much revenue did it do last year, 2018?
$21 million GMV.
Okay.
Gross merchandise
GMV?
Volume.
Gross merchandise volume. That's like the total amount of money that is like all the spas that people paid for at full at price, whatever price you got on your list, the different stuff that's there. How much of that do you guys get to keep bottom line, like full on profit?
Well, the gross profit is around $5 million, and we get from that $800,000 EBITDA, which is actually around 5% of
$800,000.
Of gross billing, taking out the taxes.
What do you guys do with the money? Do you split it with your investors?
Well, it's a business that was very, most of the companies went bankrupt, and even Groupon closed 40 of their 50 countries, I think they had. And so, we're doing good, but actually we have losses in the past, so we are recovering the losses.
Got it.
So, well, now, yes, we are distributing a little bit. But we're also investing. I mean, we bought some companies. We bought two companies in Chile. One of them from a big newspaper, which is called Agrupémonos, and the other ones were the Brazilians that came here. It's called Urbania, we bought that, and we bought one big one in Peru. It's called Ofertop, that belonged to the biggest newspaper holding in Peru. So we're investing also, and now we are exploring two more markets. But I mean, we need to see that. If it's
what I saw was that Groupon Latin America was acquired by Mountain Partners. They basically said, we're done with this place. Why, you're smiling like that, why? As this, like a sense of triumph or a sense of like, what is Andrew bringing them up for? What's your feeling? Be open with me.
No, well, you read the news and for example, another example, it's Linio. They were acquired by Falabella and people, I think most of the people think they were successful, but actually they invested $250 million. They were selling 170 and they were losing money. So actually the investor lost money in total. And Groupon is a little bit the same. I mean, they sold their operations around the world because they were not profitable, and Wall Street was, or Nasdaq was pushing pressure on EBITDA and revenue and profitability. And so at the end, yes, they were in Latin America most of the time. I mean, they're still much bigger than us. For example, they are two or three times bigger depending on the markets we are. Yep. We are in Peru, Mexico, Colombia, and Chile. And in these markets, they are bigger, but actually being bigger is not all. I mean, in this case, they were selling, I think, $180 million GMV, and we were selling 21, but we are making money and scale. You know, they promise scale all the time, most of the business, but actually sometimes it doesn't work. You know, it's like if you start with a cost structure that it's for gold mines, and actually your business, it's a coal mine.
Coal mine,
You fail, and that's what I think happened. And so we were betting more for the coal mine than for the gold mine, and we were more rational with the cost structure, and so that's, I think, why we made money.
It was a smile of pride. Like, you took a direction that seemed, that was counterintuitive, that seemed wrong at a time when your competitor was so big, and you were right.
Well,
it's okay to be proud. I could see you're proud.
Well, I don't know. To be honest, well, I think we were just rational, as I said. For example, marketing expenses. I mean, everything is public now in Groupon in the US, and they spend 43% of their gross profit on marketing, and they do not grow. And, well, now I think they're measuring it, because if you see at the board slides, you can see that they're calculating how much time that it takes them to recover their investment. But I think at the beginning they were not doing that. I'm convinced of that, because we were like, I mean, if I invest $1 in Facebook, how much time is gonna take me? Because you can track everything.
That's,
you know,
the
like,
way that you were thinking.
And that's where we were thinking.
You wanted it to come back faster.
No, not faster.
Maybe than
2 years, but what I think is not rational is not even to ask that question. And if it's 10 years, I don't think it's profitable for any company in the world. So, and you could see that even in the salaries. I mean, when they start, they were paying for Chilean standards $3,500 net for people that were in the labor market earning one third of that. So it's everywhere. I mean, you can see that everywhere. So, I mean, I think we were just rational and at the end it worked.
Are you gonna think I'm a jerk if I ask, did you copy Groupon? Did you see Groupon's taking off, this thing makes sense, let's do the Groupon of Chile and maybe the Groupon of Latin America and then continue and maybe we'll sell to them. Mm-hmm. Was that the vision? Be open with me.
Yeah, sure. Yes. In one class, we went to Columbia University for one program, and I think one professor told us that innovation doesn't exist. You know, like even Thomas Edison copied like the bulb because he bought one patent from the filament and the other patent for the glass bulb. And so I think most entrepreneurs, I mean, maybe it exists. For example, one guy in Chile, he's great. He invented a filter for crystal lagoons, which he has a patent.
For crystal what?
Lagoons.
What's a crystal lagoon?
Huge lagoons with crystal water. And he has the technology to do that, and he patented that. And he's really, I think that's innovation. But most of entrepreneurs, we copy models. That's what Rocket Internet does. I mean, and I think it's okay in the sense that ideas, it's maybe 1% of the startup. You know, at the end, execution, it's 99% of this that explains success of startups. So even with the same idea, and so you need to choose a good idea. I've seen models that, for example, in fintech, we were talking about that, they are not I think there are the wrong model. I mean, it's going to be hard to make money with that model, but it's still, even in the right idea, you're still very far from success. And yes, we copy Groupon to answer your question.
Good. I'm glad to hear you be open about it. I've got to tell you, I talked to Andrew Mason. He was on Mixergy at his height. And one of the things that I thought was interesting was Paul Allen had a similar site where a bunch of people would get together to buy. He studied Paul Allen's site really intensely to understand what Paul Allen didn't do right and what Paul Allen did right. And one of the things that he said was Paul Allen was trying to sell televisions, high-end stuff, and that's not the right thing for this model. And he goes into it in the Mixergy interview. You should listen. Well, you moved on to something else, but other people should go listen. You might actually get a kick out of it. Once you understood this makes sense, what was the first step to get this thing off the ground, to get your business off the ground?
Well, actually, well, depends on any on the business model you're studying, but we studied Groupon's business model from its beginning, and we saw, yes, great traction and a great idea, and yes, so the first thing we figure out is that you needed to be, the time to market was key. So we needed to raise funds, and so we did a roadshow.
So immediately, who's the we? Who's the co-founder?
We have three co-founders. So it's Tomas Berkovich, one is a good friend of university, David Furman, which is my best friend from school. And so we started in the living room with, like, I quit my job, and there were like McKinsey-style diapos ever around the dining room.
Why did they give you guys money? What was it about you guys that allowed you to raise money?
Why did we raise money?
Yeah, why did you raise money? It's not an easy thing to do.
Oh, okay. No, of course. Yes, and in fact, we had 1 month of sales in Chile, and we started raising money to open new markets because we want to be there first.
I get once you had a month of sales, maybe getting the next round, but was the first batch of companies, did they come in from... the first investment came in from friends of your co-founders? Was family of the co-founders?
No, I mean, not friends, not family, friends of fools, but we use our network to roadshow and present to people we know that they had money, and so we present them the idea as private, because in this time in Chile, there were not many venture capital funds, first of all, and venture capital funds, we don't like their approach in general because they are they have too many conditions and they interfere sometimes.
So how did you raise money? Here's the thing. I'm looking at your background.
Yes.
You didn't have another successful company before this, right? Look at this. I'm pointing to your LinkedIn.
Yeah.
What was it about you or your co-founders that allowed you to get it, or was it the idea? It was so hot at the time.
I think it's a mix. The idea was really hot. Groupon was like rocky.
Fire.
I mean, it was really a rocket at that time. And so the last slide was, do you want to get on the rocket or stay?
That was literally the last slide.
Yeah,
there was
a supersonic plane taking off.
Deck.
And so we had some graphs. And so, yes, I mean, the invitation was, but also the team, because when you get out of university, you have no experience. I already had experience in management consulting, in retail. My other partner, from the beginning, he was an entrepreneur. And so we were a great team with a great idea. And I think, well, that was a mix that worked at that time, I mean.
Did you do, Andrew Mason told me he started his company on WordPress. Did you guys do something simple like that? The first version of your site, who built it?
Yes, it was really, well, it was not, it was ugly, to be honest, but yeah, we built it by ourselves. I mean,
scratch.
We in all the startups I have, the vision is also technology has to be yours. It has to be at the center of the business. You don't ask somebody else to build it up. So even if it's not perfect, we did it by yourself.
Okay. So you built it up. You got to open up local restaurants, or who came first? Whose job was it to get the local businesses?
Well, we have a sales force, so they...
Even in the beginning?
At the beginning, we were even ourselves, finding out how to sell this, how to invite merchants to publish a deal and get... But it was actually pretty easy, and it was impressive. Of course, now you publish a deal and you won't sell thousands. At this time, if you had a good deal, really, it was impressive how much you could sell for in a single deal. So it was actually impressive what was happening, you know?
Back then that fast.
Yes,
and
yes.
So you would just go to local, what was it, restaurants in the beginning that you start with?
Restaurants, all the health and beauty, saloons. And Everything and the fitness, like you know, sports centers or
right. ticket gyms movies. Are natural. You go to them and you say, "I want to bring in 1,000 people to your store right now." Here's what we're gonna do. You're gonna give it to me for half the price or some kind of deal. It wasn't straight up half the price. Give it to me for a really big deal. We split the revenue, and the revenue I think at the time was like 50-50, 50% to you, 50% to them.
Yeah, 40, but yeah, it actually the argument was more on marketing, like you. You won't be rich with this, but you would get a lot of new customers that actually can come over again, and maybe they can buy something else. And
right.
But now the focus changed now, and now it's more a sales channel. I mean, the merchants that are with us, they are repeating, and they're happy because they are small, medium enterprises that they see on us an online channel they do not have. You know,
just another way to get customers.
Yeah.
But it's not a way to just get a flood of them. It's okay, but in the beginning, you would do it, you would call up the local merchants, and then what was your advertising strategy in the beginning? Was it all Facebook for you guys in the beginning?
There were some organic traction. I mean, the mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth was actually working. We knew nothing about marketing. And so we even started to give gift cards on the street with, you know, to people like writing emails and like really this, we really try everything. We went on TV, we
bought
tried.
Ads on TV?
Huh?
Bought ads on TV?
Yes, but not not like maybe famous people. I remember in Colombia, like an actress. So we find many ways, and by the end, yes, at the end, I think it was on the second year, we find out, well, we start with display networks, these ad networks that most of them are, you know, pirates, and we got completely screwed a couple of times. But at the end, we find out that the two big ways of investing were Facebook and Google, and
Google Ads,
and Google AdWords, and yes, and that's even today we invest $1 million per year. And yes, they go on Google and Facebook, and we track everything, we measure everything, we get the ROI, and so.
Did you do the thing that other sites did, which is as soon as somebody comes on, they can't get access to it until they give you their email address, and then you get their email address and you continue?
Yeah, the good thing about this model is that in marketing, there are two types of marketing. Branding marketing, like big brands do it on TV, and offline media is actually good for that. But the performance, is actually most of the people use it, and most of the e-commerce use it for sales. And that's hard because most of people is actually, the rationale is like, okay, if I recover, the margin allows me to recover what the marketing campaign cost, it's all right. But well, this is not very profitable. And for us, even for our customer lifetime value, we invest maybe 10 or maybe 5% of our whole budget in these kind of campaigns because they are not too profitable for us, because our clients, it's really they buy small tickets or their customer lifetime value is small. But what we do about mails, because we have a great mailing, we're still impulsive e-commerce. So people buy because of the deal is good and they buy a little bit of everything. And so the email, we are, for example, we use SendGrid, and we are the biggest sender in Latin America. We send 100 million emails per month, which is huge. You know, even big retailers don't do that. They don't send 2 emails a day. So our email that is actually strong, everybody was like forecasting in 2011 that email was dead and the model was going not to work because of the email. Not true. Okay, email still works. It's good. I mean, if you know how to work with,
what do you do that's special about email?
Well, the email, you first need to know how to manage email databases. And so if the activity is lowering, you need to put that emails out. And so there are a lot of good practices that you need to know. Otherwise, your email, it's useless.
Meaning, if somebody doesn't open their email for a while, you have a reactivation campaign that sends them email.
Yeah.
What is it? If someone doesn't open their email, what can you do that gets them to open it up again?
You can start to send them. So now we are working on personalization with AI, which is a different topic. But now, for what you asked me, we have a lot of automated emails. And so, yes, if you are not well, if you are not opening our email, so we try to send something really interesting. So
like what?
You open, like,
what do you think at somebody who doesn't open it to open?
Actually, well, we try many things, but at the beginning, gift cards were quite successful. But people that don't know you don't want a gift card of something they don't know. So
I mean, selling a gift card for your service,
for my
Couponautic service.
Yeah.
So $20 gift, $25 value for $20 to purchase the gift card. And so now it's like free money because they could use it on your network.
That's one strategy. Other one, which is actually great, is when we have deals of big brands like, I don't know, Starbucks or any brand. And so we subsidize that deal. So we lose a little bit of money. We use these gift cards instead of, you know, you're able to invest $3, $4 per client. You just subsidize. So the deals become really great. So maybe the Starbucks was 50% discount. You were making 10% commission on that. But now you are losing. But you do it for new clients to activate, to promote that. That's another good strategy.
We should be doing that too. Mm. We should, if somebody stops opening their email, stops clicking, we need to send something. We need to test until we find something that's so amazing that we know we get them to click.
Mm-hmm.
Would you punch me in the face? And that would be the thing. If somebody doesn't open up the email, it's watch Andrew get punched in the face. Boom, that's good. You're not gonna do it. You're a lover, not a fighter. All right, let me talk about my first sponsor, then we're gonna go back in and actually talk about your love life. You okay with me doing that?
Yeah, sure.
You okay with it? All right. First sponsor is a company called TopTal. If you're, are you hiring developers for your new thing for Cheetah?
Hiring?
Yes.
Yes, we are.
Where are you looking right now? Don't be afraid to give a competitor to TopTal. No one can crush them.
In Chile, we use Get On Board.
Get On Board.
Yes.
What is Get On Board? It's a job site.
It's a website where you publish and
So you say, I have this job, and people reply, and then what do you use to manage the application process? Workable or something?
No, we don't. I mean, we have our own test, but yes, I found they recommend me one website today, but no, actually we do our own test. They do it, they send it, and then in their interview we comment a little bit. I mean, how do you solve
but you don't
this?
Have, you don't have a flow management software for managing
No, we don't.
You should get something. If you're going to do it that way, you need something like, it basically, all these things become like Gantt charts or Trello boards where can keep track of where people are. People can talk about potential hires behind their back so that you know how everyone's thinking. There's a bunch of sites like that. Okay, I have no problem with that. What you're doing makes absolute sense. There are tons of job boards. Here's the one thing that makes TopTal different from all those. It's not a job board. You go and you talk to a human being at TopTal, a matcher, and you say, look, Andrew told me you can make my dreams come true when it comes to developers. Here's what I'm looking for. I hear that if I have artificial intelligence in my business for my email, I could get more people to open up my email. My people are okay with it. I'd like somebody who's done this shit before. Give me someone who's done it before for a site that's coupon-based, and as a matter of fact, has lots of email open rates and a success. I'm not looking to train someone. I want someone who's done this. If you can find that gold for me, great. If you can't, no problem. I've had a nice chat with you. Give them that. And then let them come back to you and say, hey, here's the guy. Here's the team of people even who could do this. They did this for the small company out of Asia, or they did it for a small company before that doesn't make sense. They could do it for you. That's what we're talking about. If you got, and no waiting for job boards, no these Trello boards, none of it. They just say, give us a day or two, give us a week. Actually, they probably will say, give us 2 weeks. In reality, it usually takes them, in my experience, about a week. Come back to you a week later, not with a bunch of resumes, go look through them. Say, here are the two people we think you might like. You get on a call with them. Or you have a CTO at Cheetah?
Well, my brother is the CEO and CDO, but yes.
So your brother would get on a call with them and go, all right, let's see if Andrew actually is full of it or not. You talk to them, and if you're impressed, you get started. You can hire and get started with them right away. If you're not, you go, guys, it's been nice talking to you. Andrew's a nice person. This isn't a big letdown, but I'm glad that we were able to understand this maybe in the future. Goodbye. That's the beauty of it.
Great service.
Now, many people will end up hiring directly from TopTal, get started right away. Brilliant. Blow their minds. I'm snapping my fingers a lot, which I know that Devin, who's behind the camera, is going, what is this? This is going to ruin the audio experience. I do gesture a lot, and I bang on stuff a lot. Am I right, Devin? I bang on everything. Do you want to know what else I do? Around the house. If I do something or have a thought, there's like a big clap. We're sharing rooms next to each other. Did you hear that this morning? No. Okay, good. So at least it doesn't penetrate walls. All right, back to TopTal. If you want to get started with TopTal, they'll give you 80 hours of TopTal developer credit when you pay for your first 80 hours. They'll match you up with a developer or development team even that will knock you on your butt. And all you have to do is go to toptal.com/mixergy to get it. I don't know why I'm telling them. I should just tell you. I just need one customer, right? The return on investment would kill if one customer, if you go in. So you go to toptal.com/mixergy. You know what would be great? imagine, since I have such hot profile guests, we should go for people who just need one good sale a month. And what I do is I just tell the guest, don't even run it in the ad, and then get it on a piece of paper. Go call my guy at TopTal. I'm going a little too far. Go to toptal.com/mixergy, guys. Once I get to doing shtick, that's when you know it's just, gotta pull it back. Shtick is like comedy from the old school. Let's come back to you. You saw that this was working in Chile. You said it's time to expand it beyond Chile. You ended up going to what country next? What's the next country that you went
Colombia.
To? Colombia. Colombia.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about the beautiful office space that you invited people to when you were hiring in Colombia.
Yes, everything was so rash. I mean, we raised money between September and December. In 3 months, we raised $1 million with a PowerPoint. We had our New Year's party. I remember that also at David's house with 100 people. And then January first week, we were in Colombia in a McDonald's, basically. Start hiring people and finding an office and doing everything from scratch. So
you're sitting in McDonald's
yes.
with the WAP. No, they don't have the WAP. They have the whatever, the Big Mac. You're having Big Macs interviewing people?
Yeah, I mean, we had no office. We were looking for an office, but we had to do everything. So, at the beginning, yes, and we were moving.
And people took you seriously?
Yeah.
They said, I'm going to... But in Colombia, they're more conservative than that, right?
You come. Yes, but at the beginning, when you just raise, like, money, you have such stamina and energy, everybody believes you. If you were able to raise money, you are on a... Then, I mean, you need to be a little bit crazy to be a founder and raise money and yes, well, then you need to land a little bit. But in this time, you're able to convince everybody.
And you were there. You had your charisma. You were at your charismatic best, right? Mm-hmm. You know what charisma is? That thing. Do you know what charisma is? Is there
yes.
a Spanish word? What's the
yeah.
Spanish word for charisma? It's probably charisma.
Well, charisma, yes.
Charisma, right? So you had that. You knew it. You were talking to people and you were like evangelizing. They couldn't wait to work for you.
Yeah.
You had a girlfriend at the time?
Yeah, I had a girlfriend, yes.
And so were you equally as on fire with your girlfriend? Like you're the best boyfriend or the most... When you were there on a date, were you like the most magnetic you ever were?
Well, no. Actually, girlfriends do not like much that like you working so much and traveling so much. And so,
okay.
Yes. Well, but... at the beginning it's right, but yes.
At first she said, this is great. My
yes,
man is going places.
Wow,
this is
what
great a thing. I just got a great deal on a spa.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. But at the end, the trips, you know, like I was traveling a lot, 1 week every month to each country. Then when I had 3 countries with Mexico, 2012, it was 36 travels per year. So. Yeah, at the end, she was not so happy about Kubernetes, you know?
You know what? I get that. Devin and I were talking before you arrived about how fun it is to be here. Chile is so beautiful. We were just here for a day so far.
Mm-hmm.
And we loved it. And we were saying, maybe we should just travel all over and just do interviews like this, get to know new people. And I feel like it's fun at first, and then it's such a chore, getting on more airplanes, more hotels, right? And so I imagine here's where I think that the relationship was damaged. You probably missed an asado with her family or something significant like that. Am I right?
Worse than that.
Tell me, what was it?
Her sister's wedding.
Oh, and you knew going in, you gotta miss the sister's wedding.
No, it was because of the Columbia University program.
What
it
was the Columbia University program?
Well, it's a program for entrepreneurs, which is called ECLA, Entrepreneurship and Competitiveness for Latin America. And it's a 2-week program in New York, and then 1 more week in, I think, Israel, and 1 more week in New York, and the rest is online. It's for a year. But yes, it was a 2-week program, was, you know, the same date as the wedding, and so I couldn't go, and that was actually...
And you intentionally sacrificed. You said, I know I'm sacrificing the wedding, and I know that it's not going to go over well with my girlfriend.
Oh, we talk about it, and I was able to sacrifice, but you know, usually with women, it's even if they say okay, it's not okay, and it was not okay at the end.
I feel like with the right one, it is. I told my wife, I'm missing your birthday because I've got to work, and I need you to come and help me out. And she did it, and I think that's a good test. I actually think you might have been on the right track there. I think what my test with my girlfriend was before we got married, we traveled, backpacked through the Balkans. I said, if she can handle it, if we can be in the same environment together, then we're in a good place. Maybe we could get married.
Good test.
Better. I think that's a good test. The other one that I would have done intentionally like that is picked a thing that's important to her and say, I cannot show up for that because of work. And if that's like causing friction where I could see there's an issue, it's not right. All entrepreneurs, listen to me. You gotta do that test.
Yes.
You're not buying that. No, because what happened to the relationship?
Well, at the end, we broke up after 4 or 5 years. So
it was hard on you, though.
It was hard. I really sacrificed everything for this company at the beginning. You know, it was really tough. I almost went bankrupt.
I want to ask you about the bankrupt in a minute, and I definitely do. I want to know why. The reason that I would sacrifice my relationship with the woman I loved for work is I grew up in New York, surrounded by people who are building companies that outlasted them. And you are literally nothing in New York unless you could do something big like that. You're just not meaningful. Get out of our way. I had to be that meaningful, or I had to change my mindset. I wasn't going to change the mindset. I had to be that meaningful. What was it for you? You don't feel like you've got that need. Why did you go into this relationship saying, I'm willing to sacrifice it for this?
It's not about need. I mean, it's about, entrepreneurship is not for everybody. You need to be really passionate about what you do, and it's about creating something from scratch. And so if you do not realize the amount of energy you need for that, you are not being...
It's just you had to see this through. You had to see it be the way that you thought it would be.
Otherwise, if I do not think that way, maybe I don't do nothing, because it's not going to work. If you are not able to really go through a lot of, at the beginning, I mean, the real startup, like we did it, like raising money from nothing, building offices from nothing, really it requires a huge amount of energy, and so you can't, it's like, have you seen the movie La La Land?
No.
No,
that's too much singing for me.
Well, it's about musicians, and if your son want to be a musician, so the only thing you can tell him is, look, perfect, but you need to realize how much you need to sacrifice if you really want music to be a job that makes money for you, because if it's gonna be a hobby, it's different.
Christian,
but if you want, so it's a little bit the same. I mean, you really need to know what you're doing, and yes, if you're building a startup, you can't like afford to. I mean, it's a strong commitment, and that's it.
That's it. It's just you had to see the vision. It's not, I didn't have money as a child, this is my way to have money. I had no meaning as a child, this is my way to have meaning. No, it's just I'm an artist. I happen to pick this business world as my canvas. I'm not going to stop until I see the painting through. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay, talk about then the time when you guys nearly went bankrupt. I see you do have charisma. I see it in your eyes. When you came in here, I felt like, I don't know, this guy looks like the energy was different. Then when I ask you some provocative questions, your charisma came out.
Okay.
And I don't think it's coming through in the audio. Even the video that we're recording is probably not gonna go anywhere, because I don't think we can capture that, but it's in your eyes.
Okay.
Do you notice that?
Yeah, I know.
You do, right? You know.
Maybe,
when you got
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Okay. Talk about the time when you almost lost it all, when you couldn't.
Well, yeah, I did some management consulting before, and some retail, and in management consulting, I did some investment banking projects, and so I really calculated everything for the roadshow and how much money I needed to open Colombia and Mexico, but I missed my estimates for 20%, $200,000. So I saw that cash flow was not going to be as good as I thought.
At Cuponatic.
At Cuponatic.
Okay.
And so, yes, I need to raise money again. Well, second round, not a big deal. And so we find an investor, which was actually Metro International, that they bought 26% of the company in October 2012. The thing is that, well, the negotiation took like a lot more time than I expected. I think 8 months. And really, the last month of the negotiation, it was really, we were going bankrupt. And so it was actually pretty stressful. I mean, we survived that, but that's another proof of, I mean,
how did you
maybe if you're not committed, I should have quit a lot before, but yes, we went up to the end, but it was really tough. And
you couldn't pay salaries?
That month, if we hadn't closed a deal, yes. We were in Bangalore.
Oh, but you never missed a salary payment.
No, we never missed.
It was that close.
But it was really close. Really close.
I got the sense in talking to you before we started that this was so stressful it took a toll on your health. Did you get shingles? Did you get sick somehow? Do you feel like there's damage that even happened temporarily?
Not physical, but well, you get a little bit when you can get a little bit depressed. I mean,
you got
after
depressed.
Some, if it's a continuous stress for a long time, I mean, yes, of course, it's a little bit.
But it wasn't there for you.
Well, no, I was, you know, but you have friends, you need to have a network to support you, and that's also what your test, I think, are good ideas, because when you need your friends and your girlfriend and your family to know what you're doing, and if they understand you, they can support you, and at the end, when if you fail, well, it's not a big deal, you can start again, but you really need to, I mean, push hard and do your best at the end.
Metro, I know them. They create these newspapers that you get for free, I think, in New York when you come out of the train. That's their model.
That's their model, yes.
And it's full of this news stories with advertising. And it's ad-based.
Yes. And they belong to Kinetic, which is actually a biggest holding, and they invest in e-commerce. I think they...
What's their connection to you?
Well, no, I think, well, they... in this time, what they had this daily deal business for in Mexico and Chile, and they tried to enter the daily deal business because they thought it was an advertisement business. It was actually more e-commerce business.
Okay.
And they saw it was really hard to operate, and it was not on their so close of their model, and so they started finding a partner, and we were the perfect partner for them to get rid of that business. And also, of course, they believe in the business, and I think so that's why they invested in us.
But how much money did they put in?
They put in almost $2 million.
So if they put in $2 million for 30% of the business, plus
26%. First investor, first round, $1 million for 30% of the company, and the second round, it's $2 million for 26% of the company.
Which values the company at $8 million. At the time.
So yes, 8 million.
Roughly, okay. And then today it's profitable, mm-hmm. and you're moving on. You're mm-hmm. not there day to day. The company just runs itself now.
I'm day to day. I'm the CEO. I'm the CEO.
So how can you start this thing, Cheetah on the Side? You know what, before we get into Cheetah on the Side,
yes.
Talk about my second sponsor, make some money for me. second sponsor is a company called HostGator for hosting websites. Let me ask you this. You're a creative person. If you had to today, 2019,
yes.
start a new company, you got no money, all the money went away somehow. All you have is a HostGator hosting plan that I give you. I say, you know what, we've been friends, I know you can start, I'll pay for your hosting, you build anything you want on it. What would you mm-hmm. create? What's the new thing that you would put on that canvas? I give you nothing but a hosting company. Would it be another deal site that's smaller? Would it be a blog?
Hard question. Well,
I'll toss out an idea.
Okay.
Okay, I think you've got nothing going on for you. A good way to make money fast to make a significant living is doing consulting of something, mm-hmm. something that you're really good at, or where you can hire someone else to do it. But how do you get clients? What you would probably do is, here's one idea, do interviews with your ideal clients, right? So imagine if what you want to do is maybe buy Google Ads for, let's say Google Ad for e-commerce sites, for mm-hmm. bigger Shopify stores, because maybe they're built on Facebook and they need to diversify back to the old school Google. I would do interviews with their ad buyers or with their CEOs about how they built their business, what kind of marketing they do,
okay,
just marketing.
I see where
and then
you're
at the
calling.
End, say, by the way, I've got a service where yeah. I can buy Google Ads for you. Everyone's buying Facebook. Do you know Google's much bigger than Facebook, but we're all neglecting it? I can do it for you, and you do it at the end after you've got some rapport. Because you and I have rapport, right? I mm-hmm. bullshit it with you a little bit. I got nothing to sell you, but it helps. All right, whether it's that idea or any other idea that you've got, really, take it to HostGator. If you go to HostGator.com/Mixergy, they'll give you the lowest rates that they have anywhere, but frankly, the rates are so low. What's another 5% off what they already have that's already low? Not that significant. So why would you do that? Number one, because you're going to be supporting Mixergy. And number two, because Mixergy is going to be supporting you, which means if you ever have an issue with them or any sponsor, we're here to stand behind you and make sure that things are taken care of. well, I can't always make sure things are getting taken care of. I don't want to overpromise. But we're here to make sure that your voice is heard, and God knows people don't want me to keep talking to them about a problem that my audience has. They will pay or do whatever it takes usually to just get me to shut up and take care of their customers. So if you want hosting and you want me to and my team to stand behind you, go to hostgator.com/Mixergy. If you hate your hosting company, switch to them too. All right. So then what got you to start this new business, Cheetah?
Why?
Yeah. You got a company, you're a CEO, you got a full-time job.
Well, I had two reasons, actually. Well, first reason is that e-commerce, it's really fun as a retail, for example. I mean, you have many clients, you have promotions, you have assortment. I mean, it's really dynamic. I mean, it's a great business. But to be honest, if you see retail, most retailers lose money today. The other ones do not make much money. And that's what happened with e-commerce. I mean, you see e-commerce, Amazon set the bar. They lost money for 8 years. Then they went with this free shipping idea in 2 days free shipping. Everybody's trying to follow them, and most of e-commerce and retailers are losing money today. So we are more beside of the coupon business in a not very profitable industry. And so I said, well, look, if I start another company again, I'm going to choose an industry which is more profitable. And if you see banking, like at least in Chile, every banks are really profitable. I think they all earn more than 10% ROE and per year. And so at the end, I say, well, that's an interesting, and nobody likes them.
What's ROE, return on?
On equity.
Oh, okay. So they get 10% return on equity.
At least.
Okay.
At least. And so it's
and nobody likes them. Oh, so they have a big fat margin. Nobody likes them. And they're
and
not.
They are regulated. And so it's so important for the economic system, banks and everything. And so they are regulated. And regulation is actually, you know, like a constraint. It's like it breaks change basically. And so the opportunity in fintech is huge. I mean, really, you need to address it differently, because you can't, at least in some verticals of fintech, not like in Kubernetes that we for example we own like 70% of the company, the founders today. It's different, because you need to have debt, and so it's harder, and so you need to partner up with financial institutions, with spin-off, not inside a company but with spin-off. But it's really attractive. So I started to find business models in fintech, and I end up with this, online factoring business model.
Here's what factoring means. I actually remember the way that I got into factoring was I was running an online business where internet companies could not afford to pay their bills fast enough, and so they were taking too long. And I wanted the money, and somebody said to me, factoring. And I remembered my dad kind of talking about it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And what I understood was, I went to this dude's office in some random place in Manhattan, and he said, for every $100,000 that I have owed to me by these internet companies, he'll give me like $70,000, but he'll give it to me tomorrow.
Yes.
And if you're starving for cash, that's a good way to do it. And then let him go be the jerk who goes and pursues your customers, right?
Yes.
Because I don't want to be the jerk. I want to be the guy who takes care of you. And that was it. And I thought, all right, 70 cents on the dollar is not worth it for me. I can wait. And I waited out and I got my money back. But that's the model.
That's the model that the opportunity, we're focused on small and medium companies. So, and we're doing really low tickets. So what happens is that most of factoring companies in Chile, they don't do this ticket. They do not have the cost structure to serve these clients because they are too small. So we are addressing a very small but huge amount of clients. I think there are 900,000 small companies in Chile.
What size invoices would they have?
We do $15 invoice.
For what?
We take any invoice.
Well, what would somebody get an invoice for $15? Why would they just pay for it up front?
Almost every small and medium company has a cash flow, a working capital issues. So. Yes, and they do not have access to capital.
I get it, but give me an example of a business that would give someone $15 worth of something on credit.
They don't give you one invoice, they give you many. So
like
the operation, the operation, maybe they give you, I don't know, a $2,000 amount, but it's in a lot of invoices. And so there is also, beside of found the lending, because it's lending at the end, you also get the service that you don't need to collect that money.
Right.
Okay, so wait, that's
if I understand you right, maybe an example of this would be someone who does laundry for restaurants.
Yes.
And maybe they're washing something for $15. Is that a good example of a business that would
yes.
be one of your clients?
Yes.
So every time that they're washing the chef's jacket, it's $15 and it's on credit because the restaurant's not giving them a credit card. And then they come to you and they say, we've got a bunch of jackets that we clean for them, $15 per, give me money up front. Am I
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. And I bought maybe 100 invoices from them. I give them the cash immediately. And then I do the collections for, you know, and so that's another
and
value your, added.
Your cash, right, because nobody wants to be knocking on your customer's door with anything except service and nicey, right? It's hard.
Uh-huh.
It's hard one day to say, hey, pay up fast. And then the next day say, hey, you should buy more for me. Right?
Yes.
Versus saying, oh, those guys, they own the credit. I don't know what to do. They're little jerks. I know. I understand it. I'm sorry. Right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry for their being so aggressive. Why did that make you feel uncomfortable that I said that? Because you guys don't want to be called jerks. That's
no,
what
no. Well, I mean, well, the financial institutions that finance this kind of invoice, they charge, I don't know, 4% per month. Because also it's a pain, you know, to collect all that money. So we lower the rates a lot. We are charging 1% per month in average, plus some fees. But at the end, we are much cheaper. We are 100% online. You know, we take any kind of invoice, and we're really, really fast, you know, because of technology. Because so that's the differential that we're seeing, that we are able, for example, our partner in Chile, it's the non-banking biggest factoring in Chile. They own 9% of market share of
9%, okay.
9%, which is huge. And for example, yes, they operate, I think we have 1% stock in money of what they have, but we have 20% invoice, the number of invoice that they have. So, and we are able, we are a team of 20 people, to collect 20% of, you know, the invoice they have, but with a lot less, and that's because of technology. We really crack out the problem of really of financing thousands of companies every month and collecting all that money every month. And so we really have this machine that at the beginning we almost went bankrupt again, because also one thing which is really hard is that you need to assess risk and put correct pricing on it. That's typical from the lending business. But in such amounts that it's so hard to know, you know, this small company has a small invoice for this all another small company. So this problem is so hard that you get also people that does fraud. And so they invent invoices, and at the beginning we lost half of our equity in frauds, you know? And so that's another issue. Frauds, it's people that, you know.
No, I get it. How do you stop it?
You stop it because the model behind the platform, we start to put some rules and we start to learn. And so now we filter.
What's an example of a filter that you put in that's obvious?
For example, yes, the people that does fraud, most of the company, they have digital offices, they call. They don't have a physical office. I mean, so they hire an address, and so in this address there is nobody. And so that's the thing. The companies that have many, I don't know how to say it in English, but when you put a company in Chile, you need to choose, I mean, what are you going to do? Sell, I don't know.
And they do too many things.
So they do too many things, so they use the same vehicle to do fraud one and one. So you start to filter that, and so that's one thing, and of course, but at the end, and so we're doing good. We are profitable in the second year, and we're growing in three digits every year. But we're still on a linear growth, and we're trying to cracking how to get to these 900,000 companies in Chile. And I think we're going to make it, because we have a project that we call Uber Cheetah. And if this project is successful, I think we're going to be really exponential.
What's Uber
and it's
Cheetah?
It's a commercial project we have that we are trying to crack how to reach all these companies because...
Yeah, how? What do you think is going to work?
How I know it's going to work?
No, what do you think is going to work? What do you think is going to let you grow that fast?
Because we have done 1,000 clients, 1,500 clients, companies, and there's still 900,000 over there.
No, I know. What are you going to do to get the rest? What's the special thing that you're going to do?
We are working on it.
Oh, you're looking for the thing that's going to.
But it's not working still, so I don't want to tell you. But if it works, we're going to be able to reach all these clients, and we have the product and the machine, and so we can scale, and I think this is going to be
so the way you
one
did it
really
was,
successful.
Let me ask a couple of rapid fire questions just to understand. Factoring doesn't work for you the way that it did that I described. I described getting paid 70 cents on the dollar immediately, then it's their job to go collect and they get to keep 100%. The way it works with you is different. It's a percent per month. You do the collection for them?
No, but it's a percent per month, which is calculated immediately because you tell me my invoice, they're going to pay me in 90 days. So you calculate how much, at the end, I buy your invoice.
And you give me the money upfront.
Upfront, yes. Okay, and I do the collecting, but you are accountable for your, so also if the guy doesn't pay us, you're accountable.
But I
do the collection for you.
But you still come back to me if in 120 days or a year at some point
they don't pay, you are accountable.
And then if they pay earlier?
If they pay earlier, you get your, we do it, so. It's hard because there is a lot of cheating in factoring and most factoring companies, some of them, they try to collect late. So you get more interest on the, you know?
Yeah.
And so we don't do that, but in general, you do not collect earlier.
It just doesn't happen.
No, because you need to go and knock the door and...
I thought I read on your website that they get some of the money back if you do collect earlier.
Yes, we do it.
You'll give it to the customer.
Yes.
They say, you know what, we anticipated 3 months, so we charge you 3%.
Most factoring do. You never finance the 100% invoice. You finance 800%.
And because that's what you think you're going to get.
And you keep this 20% in guarantee in case the guy doesn't pay, and so you can charge the more interest in that case. And so most of them, they keep that 20% unless you ask for that. Now, we do it automatically. I mean... Once we collect, we pay you, and so we try to be transparent and fair. And
are you in a relationship now?
Yeah, I'm married. I have two kids.
Are you ready to say to the will your wife tolerate if you start traveling around to put this in other states, in other countries?
No, I don't think so. That's why this company is going to stay in Chile.
It's got to stay as a Chile company. But there are 900 companies here that could be your clients. You might as well stay there.
Yes, it's a big enough market.
Oof. All right. Now. That shirt, is that the shirt that you were talking about, that pattern? Devin?
I was just saying that a lot of the patterns and clothes are very, it's very loud here. There's a lot going on.
Oh, okay. I thought you saw this pattern shirt. I can't stop looking at your shirt. Yeah. It's not loud. It's
just a little more brave stuff happening. Like things are, you know, it's...
Are you saying that we're playing, but I hope people can hear it. Devin's saying we're playing here, you guys.
It's a map, actually. It's a, well,
it's
a architect.
Of an office. Architects.
Yeah. Architect map.
All right. So here's what I learned from you today. Number one, totally fine to copy, even still to this day.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I feel like if you're in a hot market, obviously you can raise money fast, but you can't lose your cool. You can't get carried away with it, right? That the reason that you outlasted even Groupon was you said, I'm going to be rational. I'm still going to spend money with the expectation that I'm going to do it. Unless, and we talked about friends and people around here who intentionally said, screw it, I'm going all in. I'm going to invest everything. We either are going to sell and do great, or we're going to collapse. But if you want a business that lasts, you've got to think rationally and not get carried away by the competition. Am I right?
Yes, just one tweak there. I do not believe in exits.
You don't believe in exits?
Founders that build companies for exits, it's a different game, which is closer from the casino than from being an entrepreneur. You need to be honest and at some point think your business is going to be profitable. And I think a lot of founders are playing the casino game. So okay. I don't play that game.
Okay, all right. And?
Or do IPO the same? IPOs are the same.
What's another lesson that I should take away from you? What's one last thing that you want me to make sure that I remember? Here's what I would say. Look for businesses that are unsexy but profitable. right?
Yes.
Like this whole e-commerce thing, it does look like it's very sexy. It is a lot of fun. Your friends and family could get like spa deals from you and they could talk to you about it. Nobody even knows what the hell factoring is. Even me, and I, as I explained it, I didn't get it fully right. But it's so annoying and so boring that it's ready for a little bit of a facelift. And number three, you couldn't create your own business to do this. You had to partner with one of the existing ones, give them equity in your company to get all the advantages that they have from the regulation and the money point of view, right? And the credibility.
Yes.
I think I've got it. Do you think somebody's listening to us right now who is in Mexico City going, factoring, of course, why am I copying Americans? I should be copying Chileans.
I think, yes, there are in Mexico. Saying
we should be factoring there.
Yes, that's a great word point, yes.
Does that bother you a little bit?
No, I the opposite. I'm happy
that they're doing it.
Yeah, they need to execute.
All right. All right, well, thanks so much for doing this. For anyone who wants to go check out your website, it's Cheetah, and Cheetah is spelled like the natural way, not the way that we do in America, like C-H-E-E-T-A. What is that? It's just Cheetah, C-H-I-T-A, Cheetah. There's only one way to pronounce it. Yeah. I love
same animal, but different spelling.
It's different
Spanish.
Spelling, and yeah. It's .cl.
It's
right?
The fastest animal on earth.
And why do you want the fastest animal on earth to be your mascot?
Because our main differentiation is being fast. We give you money in 2 hours.
In 2 hours, yeah, I saw that. Look at this. I got your whole website translated into English, and it even says "Try now without compromises." Boom! I hit that button, and I get to go and get my money. All right. If you want to check out the coupon site, first of all, move to Chile, right? Or Latin America. Yeah. And then you go to Couponatic. Again, no C-O-U in Coup. Just C-U-P-O-N-A-T-I-C. I don't even know why I'm spelling this for people because, frankly, they're not going number one. And number two, it's going to be in the show notes. They just swipe up or tap on the cover art and they get this. Finally, how am I doing? I feel like this was really good for a while and at some point I became a little overbearing. Overbearing is like a little too much, Andrew, don't you think?
No, it's okay.
It's okay. All right. Finally, I want to thank the two sponsors. I just shut my iPad. The two sponsors who made this interview happen. Honestly, thank you guys for supporting me for so long. It is TopTal for hiring developers. Check them out at toptal.com/Mixergy. And HostGator for hosting websites. It's HostGator.com/Mixergy. And finally, this is part of my series of interviews where I fly around the world to do interviews with entrepreneurs. And if you want to see as I do all this, go check out Run with Andrew. Running is a big part of this, literally running. Run the Santiago Marathon. Check out runwithandrew.com. Thanks so much for doing this.
Great, Andrew. Thank you.